The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
How do you start to rebuild your life again after an accident that leaves you utterly changed? Well, one woman who has been through all of that and who joins me in the studio is disability advocate Jessie Owen. Jessie, you're very welcome. Lovely to have you here.
I'm happy to be here. Can you hear my American accent?
I absolutely can. And we're going to find out all about you and your story and why you're here in Ireland to talk about it.
Yeah. Great. Let's go for it.
Go for it.
I love sharing all the good things in this community.
So
right
tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, my little elevator pitch. So 13 years ago now, I became disabled when a tree heavy laden with snow fell on my family's car going over the mountains. And in that moment, my parents died and my siblings were injured. And I was airlifted off of that mountain, not yet knowing what my body had lost. Mm-hmm. And at some point, the doctors told me I was paralyzed. And we figured out that I was an incomplete quadriplegic. And from that moment, that was the moment of before and after for me. And I think, you know, I like to say a lot of people know what it's like to have a before and after moment. Maybe it's not as dramatic as a tree falling on your car, but a divorce, a job loss, a diagnosis. I think we all know what it's like to lose the plot in your story and have to find yourself in it again. And mine is just the injury.
How old were you when that happened?
27. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was really old at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think about what that was like in the moment, because you're dealing with this huge loss, mm-hmm. Compounded by the other loss of the ability to move.
Yeah, it was the loss of everything. So, you know, I was a sixth grade teacher living in a cute little apartment in Seattle, and I went to the bars on the weekend and my parents' house on Sundays, and I ran half marathons and triathlons. And now everything that I'd ever used to describe who I was, a runner, a teacher, you know, a daughter, I no longer had those things, mm-hmm. To figure out who I was. And so all of that loss, my autonomy, my job, my independence, my parents, everything that I loved.
Everything was gone.
Poof.
And where did you go in those months afterwards?
So I was in a very big rehab hospital on the west coast of the United States called Harborview. And I spent a long time there. Where did I go mentally? I don't know. It's all a little foggy. But I can say pretty definitively that the only reasons that I feel like I've been able to claw my way up is because I was so supported by friends and family at that time. I was scared and mad and angry. And at that time, we didn't know how paralyzed I was going to be. I couldn't move anything. And I was scared to be alone. And my friends and family did not leave me alone for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
They slept on the hospital room floor. They went to all my appointments. They supported me through everything. And I think that gave me the courage to climb up a bit.
Yeah, and the will to push this and see mm-hmm. how far, because you've got to find that, I would imagine, when you're going through this awful grief and loss on so many fronts. How do you find the will to say, I'm going to try and see how far I can take this so that I can live?
Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just go through the movements and the will finds you. You put, you know, one foot in front of the other, one wheel in front of the other, if you will. And sometimes you just start seeing little bits of good things and you can chase those and you can build on it. And it's the accumulation of, you know, these little things that turn back into your life.
Mm-hmm. So you're having physical therapy at this point. You're figuring out how much you can do and what you can't do, I assume.
Yeah, physical therapy was really inspiring for me in the beginning because of my incomplete injury. I was going to get some movement back. We didn't know how much. If you're listening and you don't know a lot about paralysis, there's generally two different types. A complete injury of the severing of the spinal cord, and that's pretty permanent. Most spinal injuries in the world are incomplete, which means that there's still some neuroplasticity between your brain and your spinal cord, and you might, maybe, sometimes get some function back. And so it was really easy to dive into rehab and really try to find hope through mm-hmm. that.
So just explain to people what you have and mm-hmm. what you don't have in terms of movement now.
Right. So I am an incomplete quadriplegic and I can move everything. Not well. I use a power wheelchair. I transfer very slowly. My hands are pretty impaired, but I can, you know, hold a pen. I can, you know, move my arms a little bit. I can do my own makeup. Thank you very much. So if you see me, you can compliment me on that. but, you know, I don't really take things out of the oven because I can't turn my hands upside down. I can't do my own hair curls. Getting dressed is incredibly difficult.
Mm-hmm. But so. you sort of know where the lines are for you. You've figured that out as you go along.
Yeah, I kind of know, you know, this far in, you kind of learn where you need to ask for help and where you can kind of figure it out yourself.
Mm-hmm. So you've had this therapy now that has helped you to some extent. What was that?
Are you talking about the ARC-EX?
Yes.
Onwards ARC-EX? Yes. So this is an incredibly exciting time in spinal cord injury recovery and research. So about 5 years ago, I learned about a clinical trial in the United States, and it was for increased function for folks with upper mobilities that had an incomplete spinal cord injury. And I went into it without a lot of expectation because really, if you know anything about spinal cord injury, there hasn't been a whole lot of good news about it. So I thought I was going in doing a good deed. And I came out of that with increased function.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to, can I tell you a little bit about it?
Yeah, I'm just wondering about the process for getting mm-hmm. on that. Because, you know, you hear about people all the time where they're asking to get involved in something and they don't meet the criteria and they're disappointed. Did you have any of that, or did you have to try and convince them that you were the right person for this?
I applied for other trials and I wasn't a good fit. This one just happened to be a good fit. So I managed to get in. A little mm-hmm. bit of a stroke of luck there. So what the ARC-EX by Onward Medical is it's transcutaneous or external stimulation of the spinal cord. So they put a little, you know, sticker on the back of your neck over the spinal cord and deliver stimulation. And it's supposed to wake up the dormant neural pathways that you still have, but are probably not communicating very well. And if you pair that with intentional movement and therapy, your brain starts to connect the pathways to develop more sensation, to develop more movement.
And do you feel it working in the moment, or is it something that happens over time?
You know, I do, but I know other clinical trial participants that it took a while. You can definitely feel the light buzz, but it doesn't always work like a light switch. It's the continual use of it that really has produced the best results. And in the Uplift Pivotal trial that was released 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, we found that 90% of participants in this clinical trial had either improved hand strength or function. Mm-hmm. 90%. And 87% increased quality of life.
And what happened for you with that treatment that you had then?
Right.
On this
trial? How does that look?
Yeah.
So, for instance, I had been trying to tie my shoes for a really long time. And part of the trial was doing these tasks without the stimulation. Because as science works, you have to know...
The comparison.
Comparison, yeah. Right? Did you get better because you practiced, or did you get better because of the stimulation? So I spent 6 weeks, three times a week, an hour a day, trying to tie a double knot. Couldn't get it. And after about 2 weeks on the stimulation, I like whipped through that double knot. Do my hands look the same as everyone else's? No, I'm still a quadriplegic. But there is a vast difference between not being able to do something at all and being able to do something with a little time and patience.
And you've retained that ability, have you?
I have.
That's incredible.
You know, it's not as much as when you're on the stimulation constantly, but it is still significantly better, even 6-7 years later.
Mm-hmm. And do you return to that treatment now, or is that done?
Well, that's the exciting thing, because before it was a clinical trial, you had to be within the parameters. In the U.S., about a year ago, it was approved for FDA clearance, so you can get it with your therapist. Just about 6 months ago, it got the CE mark here in Ireland. And so I've been working with Onward, and we are really excited to get this device out and get it into therapists' hands, because you have to have trained therapists. Mm-hmm. And once it's here, and Onward is very dedicated to making that happen this year, you should be able to get the treatment.
Hopefully things will change for people here in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 2018, you met Alan, am I right?
I did, yeah.
You got married.
Yeah, he's got a good mustache.
And you had twins.
as a quadriplegic. Can you believe that?
I can believe it because I've just been
hard way.
Talking to you about bringing them to Ireland, which is fantastic. They're three now, is that right?
They are three-year-old twins and they are here in Ireland with us.
Yeah, so how is life with three-year-old twins?
Oh, so relaxing. No,
constant holiday.
You know what? It's incredible. I'm really proud of myself and all of my accomplishments, but wow, like motherhood. That's something that I thought was off the table for me. I didn't know anybody when I was newly injured that had kids, especially a woman after an injury. I didn't think that was gonna be something I could do. And now that it's here, it has significantly more meaning. I have never taken one day of my motherhood journey or my journey as a wife for granted. Does that make me a hero? Probably. No, it doesn't. I still lose my mind, but I am so incredibly grateful.
It does make you a hero.
It does make you a hero. No.
How did you manage, though, in the early days when it's crazy for every new mother and father? Like, could you be as involved as you wanted to be? How did it work?
That's a great question. And it was something I was super nervous about. I imagine. Now, I only know motherhood through the lens of being a quadriplegic. But I imagine as you're pregnant with your first child, you are doing all the what ifs. Like, what do I need to get? What do I need to practice? What are all the things that they need? I have that. And then on top of that, trying to figure out what my hands can do. So my husband and I have had a really big talk, and we did decide, well, we didn't decide, it had to happen, that he was going to have to do a lot more of the physical caretaking for the first couple years of the kids. And he did. So what that looked like in practice was in the middle of the night, he would get the babies out of the bassinet. I was too nervous. I didn't want to fumble a kid. So he would get the baby out and bring one of the kids to me. And then he would feed the other one and he would put them both back in. So I didn't do a lot of the transfers. I didn't do a lot of the diaper changes. They were really difficult. But we had a great partnership. And now as the kids are getting older, because they have a disabled mom, they've had to learn independence a little bit quicker than other kids. So they're great at getting themselves dressed. They're great at staying close to my wheelchair. They know that they open the door for mommy because that's just how it is.
And of course, as they get older and their needs change, you'll come into your own because, you know, all the emotional stuff and, you know, how do I deal with this friend who isn't being kind to me? That's your job.
You know, that's exactly what Alan, my husband, said when we first started this, because I was sad that I couldn't do, you know, all the typical care tasks. But he said, you know what? So much of being a parent is all of the other stuff, the talks, being there, showing up. So little of being a parent is diapers. That's a short period of time in someone's life.
Jesse, it's been a great pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for coming in. And I want to mention that Jesse Owen is speaking at the Spinal Injuries Ireland Empowerment Summit at the Curragh Racecourse, which is happening on Saturday. That's this Saturday, the 21st of March. And you can find further details on spinalinjuries.ie. Great pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much.
I hope to see you all there.
Thank you.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.